morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, how you doing over there?
It's been a good week, but kind of weird. Our youngest, her last day of grade school was earlier this week.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And yeah, the kids are out for summer. I have been seeing them out in force. They're already out carousing around and looks like having a great time.
And they're already saying, I'm bored.
Absolutely. Some working for sure. I noticed some younger faces showing up at some local establishments. So good to see the kids out there getting some jobs and doing some work. And this is also a busy time for house hunting. We have a lot of people that have been waiting for school to get out before they make their move or make a big change during the summer. So we're working on that. But before we get to that, we have our resident in-house lending specialist, Mike Denslow.
Yes,
now,
sir.
Now, Mike, I stopped with your name there because normally, I mean, you're so famous, you don't need to add anything else there. But normally, then I would say who you were with. But I'm struggling. I feel that there is an announcement here that I need to turn over to you now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, last Thursday, so a week ago, they finalized. We were acquired, so it was finalized last Thursday. We were acquired by a company called Homebridge, which is a national mortgage company. And the funny thing was when they told us, they said, okay, yeah, this is the name of the company and their negotiations and everything. And I just said, Home Street, Homebridge, either way, we'll get you home.
I like
that. There you go.
I like that logo. Home Street or Homebridge, either way, we'll get you home. So that's a change, and that's not a name that that we're familiar with here in the Tri-Cities.
Yeah, well, we brought Home Street here 5.5 years ago and turned it into more of a name within the community, and so we'll do the same with Homebridge. It's not that much of a leap. I would say the company is a top 15 mortgage company in the United States. They just didn't have very much of a presence in Washington and Oregon, and that's mainly where Home Street is. So that's they came in and acquired us, and now we're rocking and rolling with Homebridge.
Okay, that is fantastic, and that happens a lot in the industry. I mean we've kind of talked about this with the real estate industry, and we see a lot of a lot of consolidation that goes on, and people gain some economies of scales, and then many times become way more efficient. And so this is probably just an example of like you said, what's the easiest way for us to get market share in Oregon and Washington? Well, let's buy the leading one of the leading companies over there.
Yeah, number one in the purchase market the last few years in Washington and Oregon. So yeah, they just grabbed a top runner in the Northwest, and now you look at Homebridge. If they were top 15 before, they're probably close to top 10 now.
Well, sounds great. And I know, we talk about this a lot on the air, and we say that a lot of it's going to come down to still who is here on the local level.
Yeah, our whole team came over. I mean, it's the same people. What I was telling a lot of people is like, okay, yeah, my email address changed.
Right.
The name on the door changed.
Exactly. And I think that experience and that local lender feel and being here with boots on the ground, I know we haven't seen anything different other than you said I had to update my address book, to start communicating with you and your team. But
well, what's funny is both emails are still working because Home Street worked really well with Homebridge, and they're, I still have access to my email, and it's going to forward over. I mean, it's been a really good marriage.
Well, that's awesome, too. And I think even Mark on your team had reached out to us and said, hey, guys, I'm super excited. Like, I can do everything I was doing, and now I have access to these 10 other programs.
Yep.
And yeah. So, yeah, so he was, I mean, that's exciting for you guys.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, it's just, right now, it's the overwhelming part, because we're doing all the stuff we did before, and now all these other things are available to us, and it's just, you know, it's the fire hose analogy.
Well, we're excited to see how that goes for you guys and start to learn more about it over the coming months. So congratulations on your guys' success and the new venture. That's awesome. Before we jump into our real estate local story, we always like to start with our crazy national celebrity real estate story. And interestingly enough, coming out of the Rob report, it was reported this week that Central Park Tower, which was officially, they took the title from 432 Park Avenue earlier this spring as New York's tallest residential building. So they released units available for sale in this building, and it's what's known in New York as Billionaire's Row. So this Ooh. Building is going to be 1,550 feet tall when completed next year. And it'll have 179 of the city's most exclusive homes that actually start on the 32nd floor. So it's kind of a multi-use building. Interestingly enough, on the first floors, so they will have on the first seven floors, they actually have a 320,000 square foot, seven-story Nordstrom. So there's that Washington connection. So Nordstrom's, this will become Nordstrom's flagship brand store in New York. Seven stories, 320,000 square feet. Now, that would be dangerous. If my wife lived in the building and had Nordstrom's down on the ground floor, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's going to work out too well for the pocketbook there.
Well, you said 179 homes. We know these are condos, right? I mean, they call them homes, but they're condos. And I'm guessing the starting price is going to be way up there, so you wouldn't be really worried about your Nordstrom card.
Yeah, you know, you bring up a good point, Mike. I think I wasn't thinking on quite that level. Now, when I look here at the pricing, you are right. There is a two-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath, 2,000 square foot, and I'm looking, that's the lowest priced, and that is at $6.9 million.
Mm. Gotcha.
Now, I will tell you, if you want to cruise over there, Mike, and take the crown jewel of the property, it's going to be on the 112th floor. The entire floor is a 7,000 square foot home with floor to ceiling windows all the way around, and that is yours for a measly $63 million.
Oh,
so there's the crazy thing, but I mean the absolute height of the building is staggering when you look at it in the skyline of New York City. And you think, you know, it was just a few years ago when they did World Trade Center 1 and they took it symbolically to 1776, height. I mean, this is a residential tower sitting at 1550. I mean, it's unbelievable. So,
all right, let's talk about the Tri-Cities now.
Let's talk about the Tri-Cities. Here we go. One of the things I was really going over that I think, and with Mike, with you changing over to Homebridge, and it kind of got me thinking about this, is kind of setting out there that timeline for people that want to buy. I would say in the course of the last 2 to 3 months, I've had very, very excitingly more developers contact me about subdivisions that are coming online in the next 5 to 6 months. And so I was just going to go over, as we get more new construction that's coming online in Tri-Cities, and I think we'll finally start to chip away and attack at that inventory shortage, more people are going to be wanting to get ready to buy. And so I kind of went over that timeline, and sometimes we talk about on the air what that timeline's like, but I think we do it too much in snippets. And so I said, let's go ahead and let's go out, and I would say very, very realistically, I sat down and I said 6 months. If someone's really looking to make a buy, let's go from 6 months to moving day and see what they should be doing. And so at that 6 month mark, I had two things down there. And I said, number one, you want to make sure if you have that ability and you've been carrying any credit card balances, this is where you want to try to get those below that 50% mark. Make sure you're kind of focused on some of that debt repayment. And saving for your down payment. So the second point I wrote down there was, this is probably the time, and 6 months isn't too far out, that I really put, you should contact Mike Denslow and find out what you can realistically afford.
You know, what's funny is you're reading that off, and in my head, I'm thinking, credit and assets. You know, that would be what I'd be talking about is, oh, well, you know, where is your credit and what is your plan for the down payment?
Yes.
Right? And, okay, your credit's not where it needs to be. All right, let's plan. Well, I saved all my money and I'm making minimum payments. Oh, well, let's pay down some of that debt. Let's save up during this 6 months and get your credit score improved so you get a better interest rate and then still have enough money to put down. I mean, you're just the plan. Let's talk.
The plan and kind of where are we going to move those dollars around to meet your goals. And so at 6 months, yeah, that's the conversation that you're going to have with Mike. And you're going to go in and you're going to talk to Mike at Homebridge. And you're going to have this and get this plan put together. And so let's say that takes a month and a half or 2 months and you're feeling like you're starting to roll and you're in the groove for that plan. The next thing I wrote down is that four to five month window of time. And this is where I said, you and your family or your significant other, or maybe it's just you yourself, are looking. I put down, now's when you're going to start to spend some time narrowing your area of search. And I would say this is a huge one. And if somebody can nail this one, it'll make their home search go a lot better. So I wrote down some questions that I like to go through with people. I put, number one, where do you find yourself spending a lot of time? You'll naturally have kind of a hub that you gravitate to. I had a seller call me earlier this week and say, Lance, I need you to come out and take a look at my house. We're out in Badger Canyon. It's worked great for the last 10 years, but my company built a new building over in Pasco at Road 100, and my wife works in Central Richland, and so that West Pasco area is now 4 minutes from everything we're always doing, work, entertainment, and so he's like, Badger Canyon on the other side of Kennewick doesn't work very well for me anymore. And so we just kind of went through. Okay, so that's number one, is where you find yourself spending a lot of the time. The second thing I wrote down that goes in conjunction with that is, what is your priority? Is it space or is it time and convenience? Because maybe it's not where you're hanging out all the time, but you have to have 5 bedrooms, you know, and so.
Lance, the one I heard this week was, I want to have acreage in a shop.
Right.
Didn't care where it was.
Didn't care about the commute. And so yep. so you look at that priority level now, and then you start to match it up, and you're exactly right. Maybe it was the acreage in the shop, and you're like, look, I've had people say that to me. They said, you know, on the weekends, I like to work on my cars and not be around people. And so I will drive 30 minutes 5 days a week if I get all weekend of having those other two items. And so then we can start to then really say, where do those two things go together? I wrote down just a couple other points. We asked people about schools or commute. You know, are those, you know, a same thing? Earlier this week, I had somebody send me a list and they said, we want to be in these five elementary schools. And that was their number one priority. It was very clear. It was like, here's our budget that Mike had told us. Here's what we can afford. And here's the five schools that we want to be in the school district. Now go. And so, I mean, you know, and
now go.
And so we're off to the races. And that makes the home search become so much more successful because you have those priorities clearly defined. Because a lot of times people just go out and say, well, let's go start looking at houses and see what I like. Well, I could show you a house you liked in Kennewick. I could show you a house you liked in Bend City. And so we really like to spend a little bit of time. And you can do this over the course of once you start to pay attention in that month 4 to 5. So at that same time, this is a great time for you to have assembled your team. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about interview your realtor, have chosen somebody to work with at this month's 4 to 5.
Hey, Lance, who pays for the realtor?
Well, Mike, on the buy side of things, generally it will be the seller. So when you're going through this process and looking, you are going to get the help of that agent. It is not going to cost you as the buyer.
Well, you just said the interview piece, and I think we should talk about that. I think you should clarify all that, because I think a lot of people are like, well, I'm going to interview someone and ask about their cost.
Yep, absolutely. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about assembling your dream team during months 4 to 5.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about kind of laying things out for a buyer. What should I be doing from 6 months to day of signing? Right before the break, we talked about figuring out your areas and priorities in months 4 and 5, and then interviewing a realtor to help you in that search.
Well, they're going to represent you.
Exactly. To not only help you in that search, because a lot of times with the tools we utilize and can set up for the consumer, you as a buyer will likely see that house before I do. We can set you up on automatic alerts so that once we know the area you're looking in and the criteria you're looking in, we can set you up on a map search that as soon as a house is listed, you get an email notification to your phone.
Well, Lance, why do I need a realtor? The house has already got a realtor.
Exactly. But in that case, that realtor is representing the seller's best interest.
Well, I don't want to pay for my own realtor.
Well, here's the beauty of the system in that, and that is the seller is paying those commissions. They've negotiated a commission rate with their agent, and then their agent has taken a portion of that commission and said, Lance, come with your buyer, we'll cover the cost of that, but I am legally obligated in that situation with a buyer agency agreement to only be representing you as the buyer. So we're trying to get you the best price on the house to make sure you're protected, to make sure that you have protections throughout the process. And so on the buy side, it's a really sweet deal for buyers out there looking. So you'll want to get with an agent that understands what you're looking at and what you're after. A lot of people say, gosh, Lance, that seems like early on in the process. But if you can engage a partner to help you with a realtor in that situation and hire them to help you, the beauty of that is if you wait till the end of the process to get an agent to help you write that offer, they haven't gone through the steps with you. And a lot of times we see where that creates a big issue, meaning you might have looked at 10 houses and then you think you found the best one. And so you call your agent and you're like, right at the end and say, I found a house. I want to write an offer on it. Please help me. Yes, we can do that. But there was a process that got you to that last house, and you might have made some mistakes along that process, or maybe the house you think is perfect for you backs up to an area that just went through a massive zoning change, or they're going to build different style houses in that area. So engaging the agent around months 4 to 5 can really help them see what you're seeing and help make a better informed decision.
Well, and if you're choosing someone, you're interviewing, you're choosing someone, they're the expert. They do this every day. You do this every 5 to 15 years.
Absolutely. And so we've seen hundreds and hundreds of situations which have allowed us to hone our skills and know when there's a red flag right away. It might seem perfectly normal to you, and we have people call us all the time. They're like, hey, I wrote a contract with a seller 2 weeks ago, and now they're wanting me to put down earnest money. Do you know, and they want $10,000 non-refundable. Does that seem okay to you? And you're like, whoa, holy smokes. There's so many things wrong with this call. First of all, you haven't deposited earnest money yet. So you probably might not even have a contract. And so, you know, we go through that, walk people through that situation. And that can be a big, big help and save a ton of headaches later on. Now, in that months 2 to 3, you have your agent. You start to look at a couple homes, and really at month 2, with, you know, in our from 6 months to signing and closing, at month 2, as you've started to tour homes with your agent, you have made sure that you've met all of those financial goals that you laid out with Mike when you met with him 4 months ago at month 6, and you're ready. You're likely very, very ready now to make an offer. But you need to be prepared for something, and especially in this market with multiple offers and the way things are, only half of buyers get their first offer accepted. And so that means 50% of the time, even once you've found the house that you think is the perfect house for you, there's a 50% chance, at least in this market, that your first offer is not going to be accepted.
And are you talking about a counteroffer, or are you talking about losing the whole thing?
I'm talking about potentially losing the whole thing.
Gotcha.
And so you're going to, and that is a difficult, difficult process. There's a lot of emotion involved there. We've started this process 4 months ago with Mike and going through this. We thought we found the perfect house. Boom, we didn't get it.
But I fell in love with it.
Yes, you did fall in love with it, but there's going to be another. And so that's where we need to talk through the situation too, is, you know, what can we do to increase your chances of winning that house? How can we be on the 50% of buyers that did get it? And so it's really, really crucial that you are working with somebody that is aware of what's going on in this market.
So that's why I need my own agent.
That's exactly why you need your own agent. Because if somebody doesn't know what an escalation addendum is, if somebody doesn't know how to write the proper contingency to protect your earnest money, or doesn't know how to write the contingencies to make your offer look better than everybody else's offer.
Financing, appraisal, inspection.
Exactly. And there's so many terms that you can change to make your offer stronger. You need to be prepared with that, especially in our lower inventory market. Now we're down to that last month. Generally in that month, it's going to be a crazy 30 days. You're going to be back meeting with Mike, and you're going to be finalizing your financing. And so, Mike, we're going to... They come right back to you at this point at Homebridge, and you're like, we got a house under contract, Mike. Yep. What do we do now?
Now the next thing is we lock in our interest rate. We sign some disclosures so we can move forward with the processing of the loan. We wait and hear how the inspection goes, and then order the appraisal.
Yeah, and there's about 25 other things that happen that normally take us an entire other radio show to explain. So the next 30 days, there's a lot of moving parts. But with that dream team that you assembled, with having Mike on the financing, having Kenmore team on as your real estate agent and who you've hired, we are going to kick it now into high gear and really be tracking daily for the next 30 days what's going on, making all those touches to then at the end, at the last time on closing day, that great call when we get to call and say, hey, everything's done. Here's your keys. You're moving in.
So we got under contract. Isn't that the time to buy that new truck to fit in the garage or put the RV or boat outside?
Man, I think you were looking at my notes and you had to fit that in before we wrap up. But on my second to last page, under the home stretch, I wrote in all bold, do not get any new credit.
Well, I didn't get a new credit. I got a new boat.
Yes, do not make any major purchases, and especially with credit, because that happens. And in that home stretch, in that last month, you don't want to make any major job changes or purchase anything new with credit without first talking to your lender to see how this could affect your approval.
Well, it was so stressful. Now we're going to go on a 3-week vacation.
Yeah.
We're going to leave town. You guys just handle it. We'll show up for closing at the end.
You do realize he's drawing from his own personal experience.
Yes, he's totally baiting me into this. But
and he's not even looking at notes.
You bring up some great points. Being available in that last 30 days becomes very important, and letting people know where you're at and what you're doing. Because certain things, as digital as we are, there are still certain documents that require what they call in the business a wet signature. So good points. Before we wrap up, real quick, there is some amazing inventory out there. 67006 North Juan Road in Bend City. This is a 5-bedroom, 4-bath home with an in-law suite and a second kitchen, 3790 square feet, vaulted ceilings, wood beam accents, huge kitchen. And then outside, you've got a huge 42x40 fully finished shop that has its own heat pump, car hoist, and two 200 amp services. And that's priced at $545. Just an awesome property. 10 acres, shop, mother-in-law suite.
You know what
in-law
I think?
Suite,
yeah, I don't normally interject, but you couldn't build that house
You couldn't build that house. And if you did, it wouldn't have the shop and wouldn't be on the acreage.
Car hoist.
You couldn't do it. Pick number two, we're going to go into Richland, 116 Malena Court. This is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath with an office house that's in Willowbrook. So Willowbrook, South Richland there, very, very awesome location. 2143 square feet, vaulted ceilings, formal living and formal dining room. They've gone through, they've done new HVAC just a couple years ago. You've got an awesome large backyard with plenty of space for activities. So this is getting you that South Richland location at 329.9. Awesome, awesome property. And then pick number three, we're going all the way the opposite direction out to Burbank. That's 119 Westbourne Loop. This is a 3-bed, 2-bath Rambler that's on 3/4 of an acre out there in Burbank. 1552 square feet. You've got laminate wood flooring, new carpet, formal living with fireplace. You got a family room, kitchen with a large pantry. The master suite is awesome. They've updated the bath and done a tiled walk-in shower. RV parking, and that's coming in at $275,000. So there is some great summer inventory that has hit the market. We're out there showing. If you have any questions at all, go to kenmoreteam.com and shoot us a message. Mike, congratulations on Homebridge and the new company. And
thanks.
We're super excited to see you set records and continue to grow that here in the Tri-Cities.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Lance.
And we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.